Good afternoon. Good Friday afternoon. It's 26 minutes left to the hour of 5. That means, just the usual here on Eagle FM from 4:30 to 6. That's home run time, your drive time show with Helmut and Dwight. And we're here yet again with another exciting topic, as always. We never disappoint.
Oh, no, it's today's definitely. It's on fire, Helmut. It's rocking the boat and all those other kinds of things.
Yeah. I'm not going to cover Dwight in my explanation of what I think may have inspired today's show. But as for me, I know that yesterday's near wrestling experience in Parliament may have inspired today's show, because today we're going to talk about war and peace. Yeah. But not inspired, the main source of reference that we're going to use is a report coming out of the United Nations, not our Parliament. I just created enough memes from all those videos. Now I'm just here having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes, guys, like Hamoud said, it's got nothing to do with the close to, what do they call it, UFC session that almost took place there in our August house, as they love calling that particular platform. I just call it the National Assembly. Or the parliament platform. Here's the aspect. Obviously, that was just, human to human disagreement, but it was clearly based upon there were rules. Yeah. I didn't get time yet to look into that thing, because I had to understand what this particular, this framework that we're basing our talk on. Okay, it's not framework. This piece of literature that we're basing our talk of today on, Helmut, which has nothing to do with the close, UFC session that took place in Parliament yesterday.
Yeah.
It's because this has been a build-up, and this has been a stark trend that the Secretary General himself observed in this particular report between the world's leading nations and many nations across the world. Because if you don't know, dear listeners, in our description we've placed it there, but it's known as the war and, let me just get the name properly here. It's known as they call it the war and peace report, or the security report, or something like that, but it was unveiled not yesterday, the day before, I think on Wednesday, by the UN. It is known literally as the Security and Peace Report in that scenario. Now, apparently, Helmut, this has been like various versions of this particular report have been done before this 2025 version. This is a specific report commissioned out of the Secretary General's particular office. It cites a startling particular thing specifically, and as you all know, the UN's worry is that we are taking too long to get to the particular discussion that around our sustainable development goals. That's now across the world.
Okay. Next, for a sobering reading.
Yeah. Citing last year's 2024 SDG report. He didn't use that word in this year's report, right? He didn't use that phrase.
No, he didn't. That was last year.
Do you know what happened? Do you know what was the difference between this year's SDG report and last year's?
What's that?
Last year's one was the UN wrote it. This year's 2025 SDG report was because it was given to Jeffrey Sachs and the other economists that consult for the UN to write this report. The one of 2025.
So that's why he didn't have sobering reading.
He didn't use any adjectives. He didn't use any other particular verbose, vocabulary. he wasn't throwing extra salt or spice on it, or vinegar or any other particular condiments were not used. So it was someone else's words, because in the reports, I don't know if you've seen, they love saying that thing, or they like using that particular disclaimer that says, the views contained in this report is not necessarily the views of the organization.
They like to.
But the organization's logo is on the report.
deny.
But your name is on the report saying this is our report, but the content of the report does not necessarily reflect the views of the organization. Like, then why did you do the report? Why did you start with the hypothesis? Because the hypothesis, obviously someone thought about this particular point of view, or this particular point, or this particular worrisome trend that they started observing. They wanted to know, what is the scale of all nations achieving or being on the roadmap to achieving the SDGs? What, how far are we? What has been progress made? What are the situations? What are the challenges? What are the issues? What are the risks? And then you can put in a little disclaimer. Well, the views outlined in this report do not necessarily reflect the views of the organization. What? And your logo is on it? But anyway. You know, those are just basic semantics. Obviously, this particular peace security report is one that is based on an observation that the United Nations made, dear listeners, in terms of, well, Helmut and I, we've alluded a lot to it, specifically in the Africa-centric discussions that we've had. Specifically zoning in on a program that the AU had. Yes, we were poking holes through that particular ideal of that program. The downside was that program was supposed to end in 2020. And literally in 2020, a lot of hot zones popped up in Africa.
Yep.
Which left us in the studio here for the home run, because this is our own conclusion, is that the silencing of the guns mechanism did not work. In many cases, it was doing the reverse. Well, the project was trying to achieve something, but then Ethiopia had the civil war. The DRC had been, the Eastern DRC had issues since 1994 or 1998. Sudan happened. South Sudan once again became a hot zone again. And the downside in South Sudan is that the president and the vice president are both warlords. And they both hate each other. Well, okay, the word hate is a bit strong, because obviously I'm not there to assess. I haven't been there to assess their emotions.
They want to shoot each other, so they hate each other.
Okay, yes. No, but
they literally want to blow each other
up. I'm now also applying the same disclaimer to say, Helmut, I was never in South Sudan to see the temperature, you know, in terms of at what level of the emotions are, you know, are present there in South Sudan. And then I realized at the same time, these two guys were literally negotiated with, who was the third party that negotiated with him? Was it the Americans or who was it? Someone negotiated between these guys to calm down. And every Security Council session, Helmut, when I open up my YouTube net, do you know who they start with?
Who is that?
South Sudan. The situation in South Sudan. South Sudan is an issue. They don't even talk about Sudan anymore in the Security Council. They start with South Sudan is this close to becoming this scenario. Situation is there. Situation is here. It's just South Sudan. South Sudan. South Sudan. And then we just jump across the border into Sudan.
It gets a little worse.
Yeah, and those guys have been spending money needed for the population of the country.
On arms.
On arms. Arms coming from, is it, what's the country's name?
Aren't most of those arms flowing in from the Qatari?
Yeah. The same guys that had Kagame and Tshisekedi sit down in a very small table.
See, that's the scary part. Look, one thing I've come to learn about war, basically from a book that was literally written by a major general, which is less than 50 pages long on war. That's, Smedley Butler's, War is a Racket.
Mm.
Which is, a book, for me on a subject that is as gruesome as war, coming from one of the major players, because it was in that book where he basically points out that, more like the biggest flaw in military personnel, because he described it as one of the biggest motivating factor why people join the military, people join the military, even if they know that their military is basically doing a bunch of illegal things halfway across the planet,
yeah.
is because they like to be decorated. It's because of the status that comes with it. It's because of the, you know, all the medals and stuff. You can bet there are a lot of reasons that motivate people to do that. But, instead of just pointing all the fingers to the soldiers, you have to understand that, Let's go back to the very foundation of war. Wars are expensive. A lot of empires have basically fallen because of expansion. Actually, most if not all empires have fallen because of over expansion. They ended up channeling all the resources that's needed to keep their empire afloat into these military expansions, and that's how Rome fell. Now, pretty much every, all you just have to do is read the history of any empire, and you'll see the same template appears, over and over and over again.
Yeah.
A lot of resources, and a lot of these countries do produce resources. They produce the best human resources to basically manage this, this natural and human resources in general. But what happens is the good thing about the fall of the of Soviet Russia is that there are a bunch of documentaries now you can watch.
Yeah,
it was the exact same thing. Why did they have to why did they have to sell Alaska? Because it was just too huge. And empires have all more often crumbled over their own weight. Now, back in 2002, when Chris Hedges was still working for the New York Times, that was in 2002 or 2003. Because I understand after the invasion of Iraq, he was reporting a little bit of too much truth than the New York Times was comfortable with, so they decided to let him go. He was Robert Fisk and Chris Hedges are these two investigative journalists, they're very good at it. So, instead of just sitting from an air conditioned room and then listening to what is happening halfway across the planet and reporting on it, these guys were on the ground. And, speaking, I believe on, don't quote me that I'm not sure if that was, if I was speaking on Columbia, if I was talking about, was that, at, Columbia University. Robert Fisk pointed out that, when he was in Iraq, and he was looking at what was going on in Iraq, and then turning on what's being reported about the war in most parts of the West. He was like, what planet are you guys from? Now, completely getting rid of war. Oh no, that's not happening. Now, back to Chris Hedges, because back in 2003, he wrote an article for the New York Times where he wrote some very historically, interestingly debatable, information that is, the article was written on the 6th of July 2003, and what is war? Then it's just a bunch of garbage. But the most important part is when he said that of all the 3,400 years, humans have been entirely at peace for 268 of them, which is just 8% of recorded history. In other words, when it comes to kicking the heck out of each other, we are so good at that.
No, we are. We actually love it.
No, oh yeah, we love it.
We actually love it.
The biggest problem is, the plans we have, like SDGs, they don't run concurrent with war. SDGs are about building infrastructure and keeping the people healthy to maintain the infrastructure. Wars are about blowing up the infrastructure and the people that are supposed to maintain the infrastructure. Now you have all these, antagonistic forces at play.
The downside is,
my God, we are dumb. By that I mean a species.
Yeah, the downside is, Helmut, obviously things have become even hotter in this past week itself, because there was there was the Five Nation Treaty that was signed. The UK, France, Poland. UK, France, Poland. There was someone else. I think it was Germany. Yeah, it was Germany was there. So UK, France, Poland, and someone else that signed a particular...
They are invoking of Article 4 of NATO?
Not really, but they signed like a defensive pact with each other. After the Polish shot down all those drones this past week that they say are Russian drones.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, if you need to understand, dear listeners, how far a drone can fly, you'll firstly understand also how small Europe is for that drone to fly so far. Because it's literally from Poland. Poland borders onto Belarus, I think. And the small enclave of Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad's old name was Königsberg. It was a former German territory, up till 1945. And obviously it was part of the Soviet bloc all the way from there, because all the German population, all the German speaking people were actually allowed to move out of Kaliningrad to Germany. And, when the Soviet bloc actually broke up, the Russians literally asked the Germans, do you want Kaliningrad back? The Germans in 1990 or 1991 said, no, thank you. We don't want it back because the people that used to live there is no more, you know, there are no more German speaking people left in Kaliningrad. So you can keep it as a Russian territory. So you obviously also had that dynamic because Kaliningrad is close by to Poland because it borders onto Poland. Then you've got the weird scenario of literally who we see. If you open up your news internationally or even locally or even regionally and you try to even understand from a South African context or from who, you know, what conflicts are happening on the continent. I think we as Eagle FM, we're probably the only guys that bring to light regional conflicts, Helmut. Not that we go and follow the things like, you know, like, as if we are fixated on the situation.
I thought you were going to say, you know, like we are on the ground with M23 going, I
know. No. I'm not talking about that level of fixation.
Yeah.
No. We obviously, we regularly bring these particular discussions because Namibians have to know that in many cases, Africa has a lot of things to fact out. And we're not talking about building roads, building schools, building hospitals, guys. These are like basic things of diplomacy, basic things of accepting each other as humans, accepting the diverse cultures on the continent. Because in many cases, much of the violence on the continent is either based upon religion, it's either based upon tribalism, and it's either based upon borders, yes.
Yeah.
And the other one is always also based upon warped political perspectives. When I say warped political perspectives, guys, what I mean by that is you will have some presidents on this continent who just for some reason want to be leaders for 50 years, 100 years. As if their bodies are actually...
If it wasn't for death, some of these guys I saw would be ruling for, I don't know, a million years?
Yeah. I mean, if we weren't humans, you know, and we don't age, a lot of these guys would have literally taken it to, they would literally have taken the term dictator to a whole nother level. So we have to understand, dear listeners, that if you look at the African conflicts on the continent, there's obviously the one where Morocco feels obviously betrayed on the continent about Western Sahara.
Yeah.
I still have to look into the Western Sahara scenario like extensively because Mauritania wanted Western Sahara. They invaded from the south. Morocco wanted Western Sahara. The Moroccans entered from the north. The colonial power that was in Western Sahara was the Spanish. And the Spanish were like, you know, there's a local political actor there in Western Sahara who said, they told the Spanish, listen, we want to govern ourselves. But there is evidence, Helmut, that before the Spanish ever came and colonized that part of Morocco, that it seems like Morocco was in charge of that part of the neighborhood of the part that we now have to hear of as Western Sahara. Now, the Western Sahara guys also made things a little bit more tricky because they sought support from the Algerians, because the Algerians were obviously the guys in the neighborhood, because Algeria borders onto Morocco. The Algerians were obviously the guys that were like, you know, freedom fighters, true freedom fighters there in that neighborhood of North Africa. So it made Morocco a little bit, you know, nervous, you know, seeking assistance with these Western Sahara guys, seeking assistance from the Algerians. The Mauritanians then also went like, okay, you know what, let's withdraw out of this discussion. So on the AU level, and this is sometimes the one thing that I don't like what the other Africans did is, where last year, no, not last year, two years back, when Morocco made it almost to the semifinals of the World Cup, many Africans were saying, yeah, the Moroccans don't call themselves Africans anymore. But you guys never interrogated as to why the Kingdom of Morocco feels that way. It's specifically because the whole of the AU, who has a anti, what do they call that thing, Helmut? An anti-colonialism stance, went and backed someone that has never governed themselves. They just said they wanted self, you know, to govern themselves and self-determination. And Morocco is claiming possession over Western Sahara. Mauritania tried claiming it. Mauritania said, sharp guys, you know what? We won't participate in this thing. And we literally, everyone goes and says, yeah, we will help Western Sahara. And in the same time, we literally sort of like ostracized the Kingdom of Morocco in the same level. Now, we didn't say anything when specifically Kagame from Rwanda was literally using a proxy to fight a war in Eastern DRC. Tshisekedi was using a proxy to fight a war in his own country against the proxy of Kagame. The guys of South Sudan don't want to understand each other because, let's face it, they're quite clearly super corrupt, Helmut, because if you are a warlord, you don't care about development. You just want to know about how strong my corner is. You would not care about building a road, building a school, building anything. You would just be interested with specifically, can I get more goons that can carry more guns in order to back my position up?
So it's a... Okay, that's, I think that's one thing I never understood about this whole idea of warlords. Like, what is the long-term goal though? Because, to one day overthrow the president and then take over the president, to run it in what way?
Well, we've seen what happened in Sudan.
So basically what you're saying is you're willing to set the whole country on fire just so that you can roll over the ash.
Yeah. We've seen what has happened in Libya when Gaddafi was overthrown by NATO. We've seen the nightmare that almost happened in Egypt because, what was his name? Hosni Mubarak was a general from the Egyptian army. And then when the Arab Spring happened and the Egyptians voted or decided, you know what, let's have a civilian government like all the other African governments have a civilian government. Mind you that there's a caveat on certain African countries on the continent because most of their political leaders come from the army.
Yeah.
Meaning they've got a control over the army. Not the police, the army. And then we still won't know what were the issues that literally led to Mohamed Morsi being locked up in Egypt. But Mohamed Morsi wanted to obviously make things, you know, pretty Islamic because the accusation was that he was bringing what's his name? Egypt is like Namibia. They try to have that secularism approach. You know, this is a secular country.
Yeah,
we respect,
you can just practice whatever religion.
Yeah, we respect all the religions in the country. Yeah. But because Mohamed Morsi's national political party's name was the Muslim Brotherhood, we'll be coming back after this ad break, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we're back at exactly 5 o'clock. And if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helm and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we're here until the hour of six. As always, your drive time show, a weekly drive time show, Monday to Friday, just here on Eagle FM. Hosni Mubarak, go.
Yeah. So the scenario was obviously the president before, Mohamed Morsi, was a military member. He was a colonel or major in the Egyptian army. The accusation that was obviously brought against Morsi was that he was trying to deviate funding, you know, national funding from the Egyptian army. And, the other space was obviously that the Egyptian military didn't trust him. Then he got obviously overthrown. Things quickly happened. The army showed up, and then you've got, Sisi showing up as the proposed national leader for the Egyptian state. And Sisi is also a general from the army.
The president of Mexico, according to Trump. was that Trump or Joe Biden?
I don't know. I don't know.
A president, a Sisi of Mexico is like, huh?
So we sit with these weird scenarios. And this is just the African continent that we're just, you know, jogging your memory on. You can obviously look back at the coup d'etats or the coups, the successful coups that happened from Mali to Burkina Faso, to, is it Gabon?
Gabon in there.
Equatorial Niger. All of them were military.
And there was one that was, quickly stamped down in DRC, where one.
Oh, yeah. No, but that one was, the guy flew from the United States. So that guy doesn't count.
I mean, for a rich guy, I don't know what he was looking for, because his head ended up literally being on the chopping block.
Yeah. But the downside is he was a successful person in the US. He should have just stayed there.
That's what I would have done if I were him. I mean, he was loaded.
Yeah, he was loaded. He already had his stuff. So,
but he still wanted, I think this is one, the insatiable, appetite for power.
Yeah. That's the other downside. Obviously, we're gonna balance this, Helmut, with literally what the report from Guterres highlights is that, the biggest spenders up until 2024 when they measured, you know, military spending was predominantly the US. So they're counting the whole Americas. So it's North and South America.
Yeah.
Europe, and then the Middle East and then Asia. So in a line, it flows literally South America, Central, North America, Europe, the Middle East and Asia. They were the biggest spenders. Now apparently the $2.7 trillion is like how many times bigger than Africa's GDP? That lovely graphic that I sat with you. It's like $2.7 trillion spent on military equals the GDP of all African countries together on the continent. So you're even factoring in the island nations of Africa to be part of this assess that particular statistic, because Africa's military spending is so small. They don't even want to say in this report in terms of what the trend analysis was. They don't even want to say what Africa's spending was because it is so tiny.
Yeah.
It's literally the smallest. It's literally like the smallest assessment. And to me, it looks like it is way less than 500 billion, Helmut. That probably looks like two or three billion combined across the whole continent, US dollars, that we spend on military spending. But if you look at what the Americans or the American, you know, the Americas, as they call it, all three continents,
North and South,
North, South and Central, these guys are way, they're close to a billion. Yeah, it ends close to a billion. No, a trillion, sorry. Ends close to a trillion in spending. Secondly, followed by Europe. Thirdly, followed by Asia and Oceania. And finally, you get the Middle East. The Middle East are also expending a lot of money, way much more than we Africans.
Yeah.
It's just us Africans not spending anything. But we're the ones beating up each other the most. We're beating each other up the most. For what reason? Now, cite this one thing, Helmut. Obviously, you started off with that wonderful quote from that book, that war is a racket. War is a racket. Even Sun Tzu says it.
Yeah.
You don't want a standing army standing for too long. Your prices shoot through the roof continuously. You'll be bleeding money quicker than anything.
So basically, it's maintenance that you have to... So it's the upkeep. You don't have... like everything else, you don't just have to build it. You have to keep it.
Yeah.
Maintain it.
You have to feed it. Wherever that army goes...
And then stay up to date with information, weaponry, technology, yeah, and everything.
If it's busy moving, wherever it stops, you will just be charged premium prices. You won't even get discounted rates. You will just be being charged premium prices. Plus, you have to pay these soldiers their salaries every month.
Because you don't want them angry.
And your only mechanism of revenue generation is tax collection. And your citizens won't like it after year one. They won't like it.
Yeah, because with inflation and then and expansion, the more military or more manpower, the more equipment you are going to need, and the more manpower and equipment you're going to need, the more money you'll need to maintain to maintain them. That means unless you have a way of getting this money, you'll have to tax it. Unless you have any other way of getting this money, you'll have to tax it out of your people. Mm. That means that the taxes will just constantly be increasing. Mm. No wonder the British was that in the 1600 came up with windows tax. You're basically taxed based on the number of windows you had on your house. Who comes up with that crap?
They were being innovative, Helmut, because there was either too many things or too many reflections. Meaning the sun, too much light reflections. Or remember at the time when windows came out back then, they were potentially,
Did they even have glass windows though? I think this is the time when they had the wooden ones. But, the thing is, military. Basically everything military expensive. Anyone that have seen what movie is this? War Dogs.
Mm.
There's this very nice infographics that they included in that movie, which I found interesting, where they would show a picture of a soldier that was just standing in their full combat gear. And they would, and they will indicate the price of everything that they have on them, from guns to ammunition, boots, and all this. Someone is making them. Someone is making millions of dollars on each and every single thing that you see on a soldier, from from comms to everything that they are wearing. Plus, you don't just you don't give soldiers any type of food. Now, take for example, as much as you like your army, you don't want them running around in the middle of, you don't want them running around in a war zone with KFC. Why? It's because dogs are gonna pick that thing up from 3 kilometers. You want something that does not smell that good. That's a terrible way to live. I mean, I want my food to smell that good, but the point is,
that's why they give you canned food, Helmut.
Yeah, canned food.
Or vacuum-packed food.
Vacuum what?
Vacuum packed. It's vacuum sealed in the army's.
So meals ready to eat.
Yeah. Or sometimes you just need to add water.
That's a fancy way of saying instant porridge.
Well, it's not instant porridge because it's not just porridge that you're eating.
Uh-huh.
They don't give you porridge.
So it's basically.
They give you high protein foods.
Okay. Instant high protein food. Nice.
Not instant porridge.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally understandable, because protein food, protein is needed for a bunch of things in your body. Especially if you are, in the line of work where you are dealing with a physically exhausting type of activities.
No, life-threatening, not physically
exhausting. Yeah, life-threatening.
Yeah, life-threatening, Helmut.
But life-threatening, well, the thing is protein...
life-threatening, you can even find it out here in the on the pavement, here right outside from us.
Well, the thing is, a landmine is not can't be stopped by protein, unfortunately. Yeah. Now,
or a bullet.
No, it doesn't, unfortunately.
Or a missile even.
So, I like how you, I like how you started off with the comparison, starting off on the foundation of SDGs, because this is... the goal that the United Nations have. Basically, every United Nations member states have an obligations as per the SDG goals to work towards them, not against them. But the problem, as we have seen, is that a lot of countries, most of which are member states of the United Nations, are doing a lot of things that are contrary to the achievement of SDGs.
Mm.
And we just witnessed, we just witnessed, a couple of days ago, this week when, when Israel dropped a bomb in Doha?
It was this week.
Yeah, it was this week.
It was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, targeting Hamas leaders.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, the question that everyone can, begins to ask themselves is, what are the Qataris doing? Accommodating, what you'd call a terrorist organization leaders, freedom fighters, but I don't care actually at this point, just take a pick. Now, here's the thing. Obama wanted them in Doha for easy negotiations because wars don't solve any problem.
Yeah.
In the, at the end of every military conflict are negotiations. That leads to, that lays the foundation to the, to the peace agreements that will be signed.
Mm.
That's, what we call, what's this, is it national reconciliation? Mm. Those were negotiations after a lot of bombs that exploded and a lot of lives were lost. At the end of it all, the most important thing that, that brings an end to an armed conflict are negotiations. Now, this, which is why it did not make sense when the Israelis just decided, we are using precise material. There is no such thing as a precise bomb. Otherwise, you'd be counting, you'd be counting civilian casualty.
Actually, it is, Hamad. It's what the Israelis have been using the whole time.
They
bombed just one building.
Have you seen their civilian casualty?
Yeah.
Exactly. Precise is a misnomer.
No. Back in, what was it? Was it 2022 when they had one of these particular scuffles again? Between, it's either Gaza or it was West Bank.
Uh-huh.
There was a building that Al Jazeera, they were hosting freelancers from CNN and other Western media outlets.
Wait, wasn't that this year?
No, it wasn't this year. It was literally in 2022-ish. Because this conflict was now started in 2023, 7 October.
Mm-hmm.
The people said they got a phone call by the Israeli Defense Forces saying, evacuate the building now. We're going to bomb your building. But this building is a designated media building because there's a radio station based in that building.
Mm-hmm.
But one or two media other organizations were also based in the building besides the other people that I mentioned. They had to leave everything as is, run out, like literally 30, 50 meters down the street. Because obviously they didn't know where the phone call was coming from the IDF.
So it was anonymous or something?
No, it was an IDF. You would be told. The person gives their rank and they will tell you, please evacuate the whole building in the next 30 minutes. Just leave everything. And get out. And that's what most of the civilians in Gaza had been saying. How the buildings have been bombed.
Mm.
When everyone ran out, the missile comes and it just hits that building. Just that building. And just that building is the building falling. So yes, there is precision striking. And yes, there is collateral damage. Because obviously
collateral damage and precision all in the same sentence.
Because you're striking one building.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you just phoned one guy at the door to say evacuate everyone, and the other people are saying, nah, I'm gonna stay, you're lying, then the collateral happens. Ad break after this, guys.
with either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
And welcome back. We continue. So, back to the SDG discussion. The thing is, the United Nations have, they have a court, and that court is the International Court of Justice, not to be confused with the International Court, Criminal Court. Mm. Now that court is the one that, basically have all, you have a series, like a bunch of legislations coming out of the United Nations, and on paper, my God, they are a work of art until you get to the practicality. Now, international law itself, dictates how to solve disputes.
Yeah.
But, it seems to me like, every time there is, every time there is a disagreement between, between two countries, I think this one thing that, we are just either ignorant or just too naive to acknowledge. There is never going to be a time when everyone will agree with everyone over everything. That's fantasy land. Now, that's why dispute resolution measures are put in place. So that every time there's a dispute, there are peaceful ways of settling these disputes instead of just going straight to punching the heck out of each other.
The nice thing is, Amut, you actually have Namibia in South Africa, yeah. Namibia in Botswana, Namibia in Zambia, Namibia in Angola, Namibia in Zimbabwe. You actually do get good, you actually get the template for good relations.
Yeah, you just sit there like, okay, we disagreed on this now. How do we sort this out?
We had a, a brief moment of, trading blows with Botswana at our independence, 1990, 1991-ish.
Really?
Yeah. We fought there, that part of the border there, close to France's hometown.
Those
little clusters of islands.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where the dispute was, where does the border literally...
Which
also became then the issue in 2020 during COVID when the Nchindo brothers lost their lives. Where once again,
we're back to...
To where does the border actually lie? Where the Botswanan defense force is literally patrolling, supposedly, on the line, and the Namibian border authorities are literally like a few, meters away from the line itself. So that was the scenario, but it was actually over where does the actual border lie, and it was about some of those islands, those clusters of islands in the Okavango Delta.
Yeah.
Then obviously it was the scenario that you know from your history, specifically there in the Tukavango regions, our history with Angola,
yeah,
after our independence, specifically about the civil war that Angola itself had. Some of the bad actors that literally would walk from Angola into our side of the border and then walk back, and then, they would cause some, I would call it high blood pressure issues, obviously, for local Namibians.
Oh, yeah. Those guys dramatized deals through here.
Yeah. So just so you guys know, there was that scenario. So then is obviously the current situation of us in South Africa about the Orange River, where South Africa literally claims the whole river. In international law, a natural border, which is a mountain range or a river, is supposed to be 50-50 split. The line ends in the middle, and then the other side of the line is yours. So South Africa claims the whole river. Namibia is being, don't be like that. Don't be like Dwight and his younger brother. I hope my younger brother doesn't listen, because my younger brother still remembers when my mom told us, yes, Dwight, you can split that potato between the two of you. And you know what I did, Helmut? I literally took the knife. I looked him in his eyes and I was like, and I cut it 60-40. And I gave him the 40.
And that, in short, is the history of corruption. Now,
my brother still, my younger brother still does. He still remembers that story. Even on his wedding, day.
Yeah.
Homeboy brings up that
as part of the speech.
He brings up that story. I was like, how could you do stuff like, now everyone is looking at me like, I'm like, Dwight, really? Do you have such flawed,
what a heck of a brother.
Do you have such flawed morals? So yeah. But yes, when it comes to a potato, not a potato, a tomato. Don't worry, guys. I will definitely look out for myself. So we've got those wonderful relations. We did have growing pains with our neighbors. Now we are like the most wonderful, neighborhood in Southern Africa. But go to Europe now.
Eish.
You will hear the Polish, even though the Polish signed now that 5-country pact now. And Germany is one of those countries. The Polish have historical grudges with the Germans. The Germans have historical grudges with the French. The Dutch don't like the Belgians. The Dutch don't like the Germans. The Dutch don't like the French because of Napoleon, which happened 200 years that direction, Helmut. And for some reason, everyone hates the Russians. I don't know what the Russians have done.
Look, the thing is, one thing about geopolitics is that when it comes to countries, it's like all the countries that you will find bordering each other have subjects of tension, have a bone or two of contention. That's the very same example that you will find if you go to Asia.
Mm.
Yeah. Thanks to some of the historical events like Unit 731, the Chinese and Japanese hates the guts out of each other. Over that topic is a very touchy one.
Then you've got the North and South Koreans with each other.
Oh no. They hate the guts. Now, if countries are bordering each other, and you are planning on visiting these countries, you may want to study their history first, so you know which subject to bring up and which one to stay away from.
Or which questions not to ask,
Which questions not to ask.
Yeah.
Because everyone will be like, what do you want to start a rumble? So, which is why I said, there is not going to be a time where, where everyone is going to get along with everyone.
Mm.
It's just that what we are being very immature about is, how to solve these disputes.
Mm.
Now, when you look at institutions like the United Nations, the implementation of the UN Charter, international law, and all those things, you'd think that we have reached a degree of maturity of understanding that, we are always going to disagree.
Mm.
That will always happen. It's just how we settle these disagreements. That's going to count a lot. Because,
and which platform do we use?
Exactly. Yeah. Which platform? Because more often we have gone to, let's send our kids to kill each other because we, the adults, are not getting along.
Mm.
Now,
just like Egypt and Ethiopia, they didn't like the suggestion by BRICS that South Africa should be the Security Council. Member when the reform for the Security Council needs to happen, that South Africa needs to be there. And I think they make a very good case because you must have the most stable, political system, Helmut, present in your country. The Americans have pulled that stunt off like 2 years back. It was last year. They pulled that stunt last year where the ambassador to South Africa, the American ambassador to South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Went and said, yeah, there's an imminent terror threat. And everyone goes and asks him, the whole media. Yeah. That's why I like us African media. They literally go and ask him because he called a press conference for that. And they literally ask him, so where's your evidence? No, I can't disclose this. And they all said, show the evidence.
Yeah.
Show us the evidence. Why are you crying? Why are you the boy that cries wolf? We want to see the evidence. Where's your credibility?
I feel like those are some of those things where unless you have the evidence to back it up with.
Yeah.
Don't bring it up. Otherwise you just be called paranoid. Like that's like the best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you'll just be causing chaos. Take for example, if we were on a plane and I just had a feeling that something was wrong with the plane And with zero expertise on anything aviation, and then I start you know, yelling at, you know, or screaming at the top of my lungs, well, there's something wrong with the plane. Do you have an idea how that's, you know, what's that gonna do to that plane?
Mm.
All the passengers are gonna go bananas, and aviation laws are very strict on that one. You're gonna go to jail.
Mm.
So unless you're 100% certain, shut up. So a full diplomat decided to, you know, to scream at the top of his lungs about a terrorist attack, which he could not prove. Well, I cannot disclose that. Then,
why
did you mention it?
Yeah. Why did you open up your mouth? Because now all the Africans are going to ask you, show us the evidence.
Yeah.
Who's your source? Where's this? Where's that? What's the probability of this? And so forth. He was grilled, that ambassador to Pretoria.
You know why?
He was roasted. Helmut, have you ever seen an overdone braai steak net that you accidentally, you know, while you were trying to turn it over, you accidentally threw it off the grill. It fell into the sand. Now you have to quickly go and rescue it, but you know it. But you know you don't have gloves on,
yeah.
So you have to quickly pick it up again and then put it back on the grill, and
yeah.
Everyone is looking at you and telling you, that's your steak.
That's
your
steak.
You are eating that piece.
No, I think, you know, I think, it's easy to assume why he why he did that. Because, when it comes, I mean, when you look, it's one of those, part of, the Western media that Robert, you know, the late Robert Fisk, liked to criticize the most. That, more often when all these articles are coming out, you know, are coming out that are supposedly made to inform the general public about what's going on in their country and abroad, they don't tell you who said what.
Mm.
It's always, this official said.
Mm.
A high profile official this. Which high profile official, so we can go and ask them.
Mm. Why did you say this?
Yeah.
Where did you get this evidence? Where does this evidence?
No,
come from?
This one is, this information is classified for national security. I'm not anti-national security, but how am I sure you're not lying to me?
Yeah. Which is a lot of the particular sentiment.
Exactly.
Specifically coming from the media when you've got like such wolf crying situations happening. So also to point to that specific instinct. It's one of a multiple events that you have to take into consideration, Helmut, that's currently happening or that the Americans are technically gearing towards South Africa. So we had that event in 2023. Then the conflict obviously in Gaza breaks out.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa then launches its particular, you know, call to action in terms of taking Israel to
ICC.
They've presented to the ICC. The Americans were accusing us, South Africa specifically, but you're saying you are part of the non-aligned movement. Why are you getting yourself involved as a non-aligned country or nation in this particular dispute by trying to take one country to court? There's actually nothing wrong with doing so, because you're trying to use the mechanisms of global law, international law, and global order to technically say, hey, listen, even if you are being backed up by the biggest, you know, army in the world, you should still be held accountable. Which resonates, Helmut, with the feeling that what the AU wants to do in terms of the reparations theme that they've got. We need to hold countries accountable. Don't try and whitewash or, you know, wash over a scenario in terms of saying, you know what, since we're spending so much development money with you, you can't talk about the reparations.
Okay, let's just use one example here. Take for example, just a substitute on this, the South Africa Israel case at ICC.
Yeah.
Substitute Israel with take China for example.
Yeah.
South Africa is taking China to the ICC.
Yeah. All the Americans, everyone.
My God, South Africa would have. South Africa would be this heaven. There is nothing wrong with South Africa. There would be nothing wrong with South Africa. There would be no farm, farm issues.
There would be
no racism in South Africa.
They would even talk about how good Nelson Mandela was as a political brand for South Africa.
The ACC, the ANC would be very famous by now.
The ANC would be declassified.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's five-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of 6, so we have 29 minutes left to go. But before we continue, let's take a rife read. Sorry, Angwena.
Can we for once leave Angwena alone now?
Hey, that's my favorite region. My next comment will get me into trouble. So, let's take a life read. Get to YouSave today, where every penny counts. Pay only $139.99 for selected Lavis Premium disposable nappies, and $6.99 for 8 Nina sanitary pads, and $19.99 for 200 milliliter Clear body lotion. 1 kilogram bag sunlight 5-in-1 washing powder cost only $34.99 at YouSave, and a large tin Right Brand dog food for just $26.99. YouSave, we all save at YouSave. So my favorite region. Now, the thing is, if you substitute in the South Africa Israel case at ICC, if you substitute Israel with a country that is not interest wise aligned with a Western, interest, the West would gladly back South Africa in any way possible.
Mm.
So this then brings us back to the painful point that Henry Kissinger once made, that in politics there are no friends and there are no enemies. There are no permanent friends and there are no permanent enemies. The only thing that's permanent is interest. So we will be enemies today, but tomorrow if our interests are aligned,
yeah,
well, we become homies.
Well, unless the other scenario that. Was it Kissinger that also used the same sentence that unfortunately, if you're an enemy of the US, you need to be very careful, but, and you actually know where each one is. If you are a friend of the US.
Oh, that's fatter.
That is almost like, what do they call that?
You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. It's literally like a suicidal endeavor that you're participating in.
You know, this week proved that. Ask the Qatari. All this bunch of military bases that are stationed in that region.
But wasn't it Qatar that was bombed by Iran?
It was. Because
it's an American base.
It's an American base that was targeted. Yeah, the US has a lot of military presence in that region.
Yeah.
Yeah, to protect you from anyone else but them.
And the Israelis.
Yeah. Now, when the Israelis bomb you, there's nothing we can do.
You know what?
Yeah, well, but when Iran launched missiles in that direction, they were quick to respond and intercept it all.
Yeah, it was our day off, when Israel did that bombing.
Yeah, we had no idea. What? You were bombed?
Really? I thought that was an indictment.
Just for the record, even if they bomb again, we didn't, we won't know it.
Yeah. We won't say we didn't see it because we obviously are here in the same country like you. We just need some more information. So America is spending the most on military.
Yeah.
Donald Trump has now forced the NATO guys to increase their expenditure, Helmut, up to 5% of GDP. All the European NATO allies. This has obviously led to what's his face from Germany, Friedrich Merz. That's Mr. Ticket that he won the election on. He didn't say that specifically, but after winning the election, he now obviously had to partner up once again with Olaf Scholz and with what was the guy's name? The guy that was here in Namibia, Robert Habeck from the Green Party. So Olaf Scholz is from the SPD, the Socialists. And Scholz, remember back in last year, was literally had like internal strife in his government machinations because what was the yellow party's name?
The one where one leader of
the coalition,
yeah, the guy that was the finance minister, you know, decided to walk out, and along with that, the large chunk of their government, which led to the whole, to them, you know, carrying out, their elections earlier than they planned.
Yeah, but the whole reason why he walked out was obviously based upon he wrote a specific, like an opinion piece or a document, like an open letter that was circulating in Germany. And this particular document was citing how best they should increase the government's budget. Now, if you don't know, dear listeners, Germany literally has a built-in legislation or lawmaking mechanism that prohibits the German government from exceeding a specific spending framework. So meaning if we use Namibia, if we say Namibia can only have a budget of 100 billion Namibian dollars, and it is set in law that the Ministry of Finance must only budget every year for government operations, government procurement, everything for 100 billion. So even if NAMRA collects 200 billion, the Ministry of Finance is dictated by a law, a piece of legislation that says you can only budget 400 billion. So that's what the German government has. That's what the German government has. I just used Namibia as an example. Yeah. So the German government has got literally, they call it the debt ceiling in Germany.
I think that's the same term coming out of the US.
No, but in the US scenario is that they keep pushing how much they want to borrow.
Yeah, for them they can only borrow until that level.
And then they decide, you know what, let's pass another bill that increases that ceiling to next year. So they keep doing it every year in the US. In Germany, literally, it's a piece of law that says you cannot go past this line.
So for them it's about spending.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the Americans, it's about borrowing. For the Germans, it's about spending. And literally...
The spending one, that's the smart one. The borrowing one, that's just
well,
dumb.
You have to understand Germany's history, in modern history. Germany is the reason why we had two world wars. Germany was the reason why we saw the worst of humanity with the failed Austrian painter.
I would actually argue that it's just a bunch of relatives that disagreed.
No, that was World War One. World War II. He was literally the reason for World War II. Europe would have been one German-speaking continent if he had his way. If the Second World War didn't happen, Germany would have, the whole of Europe would have been, national language would have been one, would have been German.
That time is a champ.
And then everything was happened, you know, in your country, wherever you find yourself, your identity, your language is secondary to German.
This is a German coast guard.
So, that would have been the scenario. So, obviously, at the people like saying the collapse, it's technically, it just broke up. It just dissolved. At the dissolution of the Soviet Union, you know, at 1988 and 89, the Russians had concerns. The Russians said, and the Russians were right about this. They said, our greatest concern, we say yes to Eastern Germany, to unify Germany. Yeah. Our concern is what happens if Germany once again becomes the rabid dog we knew from the 1930s and from the 1900s? They had the most advanced technologies in both of those world wars, Helmut. It's just that nobody liked them. Nobody liked them.
Being German's neighbor, like Poland, must be like, eish, anything. Well,
And that was not the historical.
It's always Poland, I swear.
No, but it's, well, Poland and Germany have, they have a unique history. Poland, Germany, and Austria. And the Czech, and what we call the Czech Republic and Slovakia today. And those guys, they were previously known as Bohemia. That whole zone, that Czech Republic zone, with Slovakia. Those guys have a unique history between themselves. Now the downside is that unique history has been that they've been beating each other up.
A lot.
For hundreds of years.
Yep.
And if we're saying it here on Eagle FM on the home run, guys, just remember we are making it more PG friendly. They've had so much war between themselves. It's impossible to explain to you in one day how many wars these guys have had between each other.
Yeah, but look, man, I think that's the, I think that's the angle I'm looking at war from. Like, human beings are just obsessed with war. All you just have to do is, look up a documentary. What do we know Shaka Zulu is? Military general. I mean, these are just, this is one thing about African history that, more like how I look at, African history and basically look at it in general as human history. Mm. It's like we are very good at kicking the heck out of each other. The Japanese had what the Sengoku period, where, boy.
100 years of civil war.
Yep.
And then before that, you had another period of 100 years of civil war.
I'm telling you, like human beings, each and every continent, I swear, we just figure out a way to kick the heck out of each other.
Yeah.
And you have the easy, you have the Mtetwa, the Zulu, you have all these guys here that are like, you know what, I'm better at throwing a spear than you. And we had the same thing. We had the same thing here in Namibia. Like, tribal kicking the heck out of each other. Oh, we're very good at that.
Mm.
Which, right now, I think I'm giving us a lot of credit.
Mm.
Because back then, all you just have to do is find your cow in the wrong area, and then this one goes and misinforms the other army.
How about we
just go and start a war?
I saw my cow in your.
Cow. I tried to go and get it. They said no. So, well, that's an insult to our ancestors.
Yeah.
Now the gods have told me, since you can't argue with what the god told me, the gods just told me.
Well, I would like to see that guy frown first, going like, he spoke to you? Really? Are you that kind of a person? Don't worry.
That was a big deal back then.
I know, Helmut.
The gods, not just one. In other words, plural. I had a conference.
Yeah.
Mm.
There was a Zoom call, a big one.
This was part of my show last week on Sunday. And,
Zoom calls with deity?
Not Zoom call with the spiritual world.
Oh.
It's just how we decided to just wake up one morning and classify ourselves as the most, the most intelligent species on the planet. Like, if you just look at the things that we do, we're not really that intelligent. Invention, technology, blah, blah, blah. We are very good at that. Now, I think our problem is when it comes to dispute resolution, we have not evolved past the inherent nature of kicking the heck out of each other to settle disputes.
Yeah.
Which, again, on a smaller scale, brings us to domestic violence. All you just have to do is sit. And, brings us to wrapping up this week, Parliament. All they had to do was like, okay, you know what, I'll just walk out and then we'll settle this. They had to create a whole scene, which I enjoyed, by the way. It will make an excellent collection to my, social media.
Mm.
All I'm saying is when it comes to dispute resolution as a species, black, white, tall, fat, short, thin, we have not evolved past conflict.
Mm.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Minutes left to the hour of six. This is Homerun with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM, your drive time show. But before we continue, a live read.
This is Velvicia University's 2026 applications that are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences. And the following programs are Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 5, Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6, Diploma in Environmental Health Science Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. Application fee is 230 Namibian dollars. Application deadline is the 30th of November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvicia University, where everyone is an achiever.
So we have 13 minutes to go. So why, gravitating towards war is the only solution to, you know, to any dispute is something that I find, somewhat fascinating. And because if you look at the history of human beings all across races, all across religions and continents, we always figure out a way of, you know, a reason of why we should fight. Mm. It's either based on my God is stronger than yours or more true and mine is, the correct one, well, you are wrong, and then we get in a fight. My skin is allergic to the sun, yours is not, so, well, I'm the true leader of this planet, we get in a fight. You are straight, I'm not gonna be gay. Now, so we get in a fight. I would have gone with I'm straight, but anyway. It's a wonderful Friday.
You could have just said, I don't fancy that orientation, or I fancy this orientation.
That's a lot of unnecessary words.
You had to apply the hyperbole, you know.
Straight to the point. So, we are very good at figuring out why we should get into a fight. But then, how we came together and came up with initiatives like the SDG, for example, you'd ask yourself, just how the heck, you know, given our terrible conflict resolution mechanisms, how are we going to pull this off? Because again, SDGs, zero hunger.
Quality education.
Yep. Quality institutions.
Peace and security is one of them.
Yeah, that. Silencing of the guns before 2021.
The civil wars kick off in Africa.
Yeah. And then, you know, the seat of the African Union was like, I need access to the sea. So instead of talking to the Somali government, I'll just talk to a breakaway republic that's with the Somali government.
That not even the UN recognizes.
Yeah. Actually, I will help them recognize, you know, the
something there. Somehow. You know, someone's gardener must be recognized.
And the Somali government was like, are you nuts?
What are you guys doing?
The African Union headquarters is right there.
What are you doing? Fun times, Hamoud, I tell you. Fun times, fun times.
Yep. So, we want to build infrastructure and make sure everyone lives happily ever after in that utopia world that, you know, the, especially the World Economic Forum guys like to bring up. You know, let's just go, you know, let's live happily with each other. That's a brilliant, I mean, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
The problem is, when you look at, now, instead of spending more on SDGs, we are spending more on weapons. But we would like to achieve peace. It's like showing up with an oil tanker to try to put off a fire. Everyone will be like, okay, now.
What are you doing?
I'm not going to stop you. Can you just give me 5 minutes to, you know, move as far away from this place as possible? Then I'll just let you go bananas. Because when this whole thing goes kaboom, I don't want to be anywhere near you. So, we want to achieve peace and security and strong institutions. Everyone has food, everyone has quality education. But instead of spending more money on education and agriculture and science and all that, we're spending more money on figuring out the best and more effective ways to kill each other. Boy, are we dumb.
Oh, no, we are lovely species, Hamoud. We know how to set the tone, you know. If you ask me what tone that is, it's the tone that there's some, it's somewhere there. Just there. Specifics about the tone, we don't know.
No, we don't.
No, we really don't know. And if you try to establish good, you know, what do you call that thing, functional communities, then there's always one or other aspect of interference starting up.
Yep.
When I say interference starting up, we have to take a specifically targeted look at the plan that everyone, and that's just the thing that we started on last year, remember, where the whole world has a plan for Africa. What is Africa's plan? For itself and for its relations with the rest of Africa.
Come on. Africa has plans, you know.
Yeah, we do. We've got most, you know,
silencing of the guns.
Agenda 2063
went south really fast.
Yeah, and
Agenda 2063. Yeah, we have plans. The only biggest problem with our plans is, we'll go through all the verbosity of how we are going to execute this
and
plan.
Our heads of state will show up all nice and shiny and smiley, squeaky clean, and everyone is, you know, shaking hands as if you know they were alumni from a specific class.
Smiling and walking like those kids in Jet magazines. And
no, Helmut, no.
And
no.
And then we come to the biggest question now.
Yeah.
How on earth are we going to fund this? Then all of a sudden with everyone at that event with all their designer houses, designer cars and designer toothpicks go, yeah, I think we have to go and borrow. Really?
Yeah. Well, except for Namibia's particular template, you know, where we actually look good, you know, in terms of we are doing our own things with our own money to a great extent.
Yeah.
You know, kudos to us. We're obviously not an Egypt, which gets $100 million for its army, just like that, to keep Egypt happy. So that Egypt doesn't invade Israel, inverted commas, you know. I just had to prove that point there.
Look, so for them to, you know, for two neighbors to be nice to each other, one of them have to be constantly be bribed.
Yeah, the other one is constantly bribed. The other one is like given hush money. Not being bribed. Instead, you know what? I will help you. I will supplement the financing mechanism there for you.
Yeah. Just be nice. You have two neighbors.
Yeah. Just be peaceful, guys, with each other.
Oh, dear.
And they all have oil and gas now. Because the Israelis want the, what's the thing's name? The Israelis want the gas field that is, literally in the national waters of the Palestinian state.
Right across the beach.
I think I read about that. Yeah,
right across
the coastline is oil and gas exploration has been going on, but it was approved by the Israeli government in the waters of the, technically of the Palestinian state, which was run now, that part of Gaza
now,
run by Hamas.
That's why, when it comes to the state of Israel, it's very difficult, at least for me, to dismiss the criticism of the Israeli state by Noam Chomsky. That is one of those people. I think that's who has been the founder of criticisms like Israel is not a real country. It is just a Israel is a term that he likes to use is a colonial outpost of Western imperialism. I'm like, actually, that's my favorite thing. For one,
I don't want to get beaten up today.
I'm just letting you know. Relax, that's Noam Chomsky. You know, I like to quote that guy. For one, he's American. Two, he's a Jew. Three, he's really, really smart.
Mm.
Yeah, world renowned linguist. I don't even know how many languages that guy speak.
Well,
and he's also really old. Yo.
Well, you know,
he's in 90s, I think.
Yeah. Well, he is very intelligent, should I say,
Now when it comes to SDGs, for us to pull them off, we will have to dial down on military conflicts.
Mm.
But from the look of things, we have dialed down on financing for SDGs and dialed up on financing for anti-SDGs.
Mm.
Like, you know, war, for example.
Yeah.
We finance a lot of that. Now the bomb that was just decided to drop Israel on Doha, the reason why it pissed off Doha is because, again, international law. Take, for example, if Namibia just woke up today and decided, you know what, because of Sam Harris' involvement in Fishrot, we're just, going to drop a bomb in Iceland.
Did you say St. Mary or Samary?
Sam Harry.
It sounds like St. Mary.
St. Mary. Why would we be bombing St. Mary? She's a saint for the Christ.
Listen, for the love of Christ. I heard St. Mary.
St. Mary.
So I had to stop myself going, St. Mary or is it Samary?
Yeah. Before the Vatican goes, what do we do? No, relax, guys.
It's not you guys.
Sam Harry, the guys that, came here and beef. I know it's very easy to say, oh no, Sam Harry came here and corrupted our politicians. Really? How old are they? 10? They're adults. They knew what they were getting into.
Yeah.
They trusted their English, which is why we've been listening to their English from 2019 to, we're still listening to that English. And it's still top notch.
And it's still helping us with the verbose vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's still creating employment for content creators. It's my favorite part about, this whole thing. So, the UN Secretary General is one of those people that I think, especially when it comes to armed conflicts, you listen to this guy and you can't help but go, this is someone who really, really, really wants change.
Who really, really wants really, to see the SDGs being
achieved. Really wants to see
achieved.
The SDGs being achieved.
Who, and he literally mentions it here.
Yeah.
The SDGs have a rate of, the rate of progress is 35%, while the whole of Europe, the Americas, Asia, the Middle East, are spending 2.7 trillion because Africa is so negligible, we're below even 100 billion. That's how negligible we are, Helmut. We don't even spend 100 billion on hardware. But the rest of the world is for some reason ramping it up. They've increased in Europe, the NATO guys, to 5% of their GDP.
You know what's the problem with that?
What?
We spend on arms. We're going to become armed. And countries that are armed, get to, countries that, countries that are better armed, begin to become stubborn.
Here's the thing.
And also insecurities, I think that, I think being armed is one of the biggest problems with security, because then everyone becomes paranoid of everyone.
Yeah. It's,
like the chances of two countries that are fully armed going to war are really high.
Because
they both have muscles to flex.
Yeah. It's a touch and go scenario, when I cite that, because do you know what happens a lot, Helmut, in why they were mentioning spending?
Mm-hmm.
It's because a lot of these armies are updating, a lot of these countries are updating or upgrading the hardware. So the hardware they had up to a point was seen as out of date, obsolete, and stuff like that. Now they've got an excuse. Okay, clear a budget that now includes buying new hardware.
You know, now, you know why that is also another biggest problem when it comes to development? It's just that, these military hardwares are now costing more and more. And then all the money is going towards military, not social welfare or citizenship-based, welfare expenditures, development-related expenditures. You know what that's doing? It's pissing off a lot of citizens.
Yeah.
And now you end up with Nepal.
Yeah. You get a guy like Elon Musk. And I know Elon Musk has nothing to do with war contracts, right? But the reason why a lot of Americans were unhappy with Elon Musk is because Elon Musk doesn't make much of his money from consumers. Everyday consumers like you and me.
Yeah.
He makes his money from having Starlink being a service provider to the American government, or one or other particular company that he owns being a major service provider to the Department of Defense, which is now the Department of War.
Whoever came up with that.
He's got some ugly US government contracts. And I say the word ugly. I use the word ugly, Amud, because it's obscene amounts of money.
Yeah.
That his company, the contracts that the company gets, is an obscene amount of money.
Back in 2015, when the Cameroonian businessman graduated, studied in the US, graduated as a lawyer, started working for the UN in Sudan, in the Darfur region. It was a hot region, like a hot region at the time.
Yeah.
I think even hotter than it is today at the time. So that's, when, according to him, I think, because he literally wrote a book, titled, Billions at Play, where he reached more like observed that, this conflict is not easy to stop, because stopping it means threatening a lot of multinational companies that are monetizing from it. And, I think that way of looking at conflict is one of the most controversial ways of trying to discuss, armed conflicts when you follow the money. And when you start drawing conclusion of maybe the reason why this conflict is not coming to an end is because, there's a lot of money at stake. But unfortunately, when it comes to military conflicts, military conflicts are very expensive to maintain. And for that, it comes with a lot of risk and also a lot of money.
Mm.
And, well, who would want to see money just, stop like that? No one.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
3 minutes into the hour of six, we take a break and we sign off on the other side and wish you a good weekend. But until then, stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081
081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to
welcome back. That ad basically brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Until Monday, same time and same place. And of course, we're gonna meet again on Sunday from 11 to 1. From 11 to 1, where I play both a comedian and DJ, which, believe me, I really like playing both a DJ and, playing both a DJ and comedian, blowing off some steam. Until then, y'all have a good weekend, and remember, don't drink and drive. I know we don't like to hear this, but, it's a public road. Thank you. It's a public road. In other words, it's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's a shared resource. It's a communal thing. With that, I leave you in the hands of David Shombe with the business and economic segment. Just that after a very depressing topic of how terrible we are as a species, aka human beings, when it comes to conflict resolution. Everything we just have to fight, and then we turned around and made developmental plans that does not involve fighting. How are we planning on pulling that off is, I really wish to live long enough to see just how that whole thing falls flat on its face. I'm a comedian, I'm counting on it, so I can make jokes about it. As long as it doesn't involve any, people or anything being blown to bloody bits. So with that, you all have a good weekend, and don't drink and drive. And yes, that involves stopping your car, drinking, and then driving.